Hello and welcome to the Ask Adam and Ryan show. My name is Adam. Welcome.
And my name is Ryan Sheehy. And this is a show where you have questions and we have answers. But before we get going, what's new, Adam?
What's new, man? I've been on the road. I was gone all last week. Three states, three time zones, Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, meeting some great educators. It's always fun to travel. And as I always say, it's always great to be home.
Exactly.
So, yeah, man. How about you? What's going on?
Just wrapping up. You know, I'm still under contract for working for the school year. So we have a couple more days. I have a couple more days, but it's been good. Actually, I have last Friday, I was so fired up by the end of the day that I was ready to start the new school year on Monday.
Wow.
I was, I did a lot of calendaring and planning for next year. So I think I look at this as a great opportunity, time to reflect and to really look and see what do we want to do. And so we're doing some really good work, and I'm pumped for next school year.
That's a pretty good place to be, man. It's June and you're already pumped for
year. I'm telling you, I was ready for kids to show up. Ready for staff to come back and just really building my plan and going from there.
So, I like it. Sounds good. Well, let's get started. Question one, I just landed my first teaching job. What should I focus on first? That's a great question because I get that question a lot now. And when I was a principal, I hired a bunch of brand new teachers. And I think the instinctual thing to do is to get your room ready. And I think that's a good place to start. I would also caution as to not do too much in your room. You know, get it ready for kids, but don't spend all summer long making it look a certain way. I'm a big believer in doing things with the kids. And if you're a new teacher or a veteran teacher, like let's decorate the room together. And also just remember, if you ask your students next year what they remember about the room, they're probably not going to remember too many things about the decorations. And I say that not saying that it's not important, but it's not the end all. And it's not going to, decorating your room and getting it ready is not the educational program. I would really say you got to get on Twitter first and foremost, connect with other new teachers, hop on some Twitter chats just to kind of get your PLN connected and going. And you know what? Then you got to start building relationships with your grade level or your department and your community. Make sure you have some kind of face on the school website where, you know, once parents get the class list, they can go onto the school website and see who you are, see a picture, where you went to school, your interests, and go from there. I think those are really easy things. And just work on building community also with your students. You know, that's really important as well, too, because you have to focus on culture and community before I believe you can really do anything else in your classroom or your school. So think big, act small, pace yourself. It's a marathon. It is not a sprint, and you can't sprint a marathon or you will not finish the marathon. How about you, man? What do you think?
Bringing it back to running.
Yeah, always. True. Let's go for a run right now.
True Adam welcome fashion. Bringing it back to running. I'll sit here on my couch and wait for you to be done. All right. So I think, you know, first things you should focus on first. I agree with Adam. You know, the room isn't the end all be all. And I think that's where people like to focus first to make it pretty, depending on the grade level and the age of the kids. I think there's less of that necessarily in high school, but definitely more so in the primary grades and in elementary school and some in middle school as well. And really, I say that your room will develop over time because you want your room to show evidence of learning. And and so that will come as you go. Obviously, you want it to be welcoming for that first day of school. But I think first and foremost is building those relationship with the colleagues. And then once school starts, building relationship with the kids. But prior to all that, making sure that you know what you're going to be teaching, really understand the standards, understand, you know, kind of the scope and sequence of whatever district you may be in, and really looking at those things first to make sure that you come up with a plan, an education and instructional plan for the year. I think too often people come in first teaching jobs and they focus on the glitz and the glamour without really digging into content. And, first, I think that's where we really need to focus and making sure that we have that understanding. And really, I recommend every new teacher to sit down with their building principal and talk about kind of the instruction. What does instruction look like at that school? And hopefully that's come up in the interview process and through some, orientation. However, I know for a fact, a lot of times it doesn't happen. So really making that a focus focusing in on instruction. Also, you know, websites are great. Like Adam said, I think that is the face of the school, the face of your classroom. I like to take it a step further than just putting pictures on the website. I like having a video. I think that is awesome because families are able to understand you a little bit more, get a little bit deeper insight to who you are when they watch a video compared to just looking at a picture. So I think that's awesome. And then just allow the classroom to evolve over time. That's what I would say you should focus on first.
Love it.
Question number two. I was reading the other day that principals leave their jobs for the following reasons: inadequate training and professional development, poor working conditions, insufficient salaries, lack of decision-making authority, and high-stakes accountability policies. What can leaders do to overcome these feelings and stay in a leadership role?
Ooh, good question, man.
That is deep. So I think you look at those, and those are something that I think any principal has felt over time. I don't think there's probably anybody that's been in the profession as a principal that hasn't felt one of those things. And so for me, I know I felt probably, I think, all of them. And for me,
you are not alone, bro.
No, I know. And that's a scary thing, is that I'm not alone in that feeling. So really focusing on what can we do and what decisions can we make? And then taking a lot of those things into our own hands, you know, looking at the inadequate training and professional development. I'll tell you right now, I've worked in districts where they don't value principal professional development. Mm-hmm. And so what I've had to do is I've had to take that on myself. And, you know, through the use of social media, through the use of just kind of collaborating with others and being a connected leader, I've been able to provide myself my own professional development. You look at the working conditions, you know, culture is what you allow. And so looking at, you build those working relations within your conditions, within your own school. Now, the district as a whole, that's a little bit harder to do, but really concentrating on my site. Insufficient salaries. I don't think any educator gets paid for what they do.
Get over it.
You know, and so look and see what you got to do. I totally get it. I'm a one income family. And so for me, the salary piece is important just because I have four kids and my wife to take care of, that I want to make sure that I'm providing them the best possible life that I can for them. So totally get that. Decision-making authority, you know, there's always going to be, everybody has a boss. And so really building those connections and collaborating with them on that. And then, you know, the accountability policies, get in there, volunteer to get on those committees and work with them in creating new policy, I think is key. I know for me, when I try to get people on different committees, it's not always the easiest thing because people don't want to be part of it. So volunteer to be part of it and be part of the change rather than being part of the problem.
It's a big question you have there, and yes to all of it. And what I will tell you from my leadership experience is simply do what you can do. And I think too many leaders try to do it all and they try to do too much. And I think if you think about rocks, we can handle like three big rocks at a time, maybe five, 3 to 5 big rocks, and only focus on those big rocks. And I get it. Poor working conditions, insufficient salary, lack of decision-making authority. You know what? Those are the constraints that leaders, especially principals and public schools, have to deal with. So do what you can do. And, focus on what you can control and not what you can't control. You can't focus on your salary, so you know what? Don't focus on it. And at your school, know what your staff can handle. And if you have things, I can remember as a principal, I would go to a principal's meeting and get all these initiatives and ideas, and I would definitely throttle it and shield my own staff from what I told them and what I didn't tell them. And maybe I was not being true and honest to my school district. I think I was, but the point is they don't need to know about everything. They need to know about what they should know about to do their job and to do it in a great way and to make sure that the job gets done. But don't just tell them everything to tell them everything. I think a lot of leaders have diarrhea mouth where they blab everything and then people hear it and they freak out and then they're not doing anything really well. So just focus on what you can focus on and don't be a workaholic. I think that's a really important thing, is be a hard worker, not a workaholic. Staying till 7 o'clock every night at school is not the answer. If that's what you're doing, you need to back off, or you need to articulate that to your school district and hopefully they'll change. And if not, you know what? You do what you can do. And I think that's the healthiest thing for you and your school.
Yeah. And that workaholic thing, so many people wear it as a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. And I just look at it as like, come on, you're not going to be at your best if that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. 100%. All right, next question. What's the biggest mistake you made, and how would you, or how did you avoid making it again? The biggest mistake I've made. Oh my gosh. I'm not pausing because I haven't made any mistakes. I'm just trying to figure out which one I'm going to talk about. Early on in my principalship, and I'm working on a long blog post, and I talked about this in the blog post that I haven't published yet. I was a new principal, a young principal, and I was like 6 months in, and I did a survey with my staff. I wanted just to kind of see what my staff was thinking about me and my leadership. And it came back that we know that you're listening. We know that you hear us, but we don't always know if you're listening. And examining it a little deeper, I like to get a lot of things done. I like to be efficient, and I would be listening to somebody and I wouldn't be really hearing them. I might be trying to multitask or okay, and then on to the next thing, because we were busy and I was at a new school and we were trying to push change. So I really had to be intentional about it. And I had to like put my phone down or close my laptop or put my hands behind my back and really focus on making eye contact and listening intently. So I kind of came up with a new slogan: listen, 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 and then talk, not listen and then talk and get out of there. So that was a mistake I made early on, and I've avoided it by learning from it and also just being very deliberate in my listening strategy, so I can hear and I listen and then I can respond.
Yeah. When I saw this question come across Twitter, you know, so many different ones popped into my head. And, you know, kind of as you were talking, I remembered another avenue that mistake that I've made, and kind of looking at feedback. That was one of the things that was necessary for me to look at. And I remember sending out a survey similar to what you did. And the biggest thing that came back to me was that I need to provide more positive feedback for teachers. And so I had started off super positive with lots of feedback, you know, not always positive, but that's feedback, right? Feedback is feedback. And, I remember giving this one teacher some feedback, positive feedback, and, you know, fast forward a couple years and that feedback was thrown back into my face. Hey, you know what, now I can do, I called them this person on some things, and remember a couple years ago you said this, this, and this, and unions got involved and district got involved. Oh, how could I be this good a few years ago and not like that anymore? And from that point on, I kind of shut down my positive feedback because I don't want it being thrown back in my face. And that was something that I really, at the end of the year, when I asked my teachers and I got a lot of feedback towards me, for looking at that and the effectiveness of giving positive feedback. It was really a huge reflection moment for me, because I think that we do need to provide that positive feedback and need to find those. So one of the things for me is I'm calendaring some feedback times throughout the year. Cool. So I've already sat down for next year, school year, and it's on my calendar. Actually, my office manager the other day, she asked me, hey, what do these mean here on these certain dates? And I was like, oh, those are just my little reminder to myself that, hey, I need to go through and make sure that I'm sending out those positive feedback and being intentional with the feedback that I'm giving. I think that's always key. I don't want to just give feedback just to give feedback, but I also want to point out the positives that are happening, because no matter what classroom you go into or what school you go into, there are tons of positive things happening, along with there are negative things happening as well. And so we need to point out some positives and then work on some of the negatives. So that's one of the mistakes that I've made, one of the many, and what I'm going to try to do to avoid making it again. Question number four, what are some good strategies you recommend for building relationships with students? So this is one that Adam and I talk about a lot in different avenues. So I think, you know, for myself, for building connections with kids, to, you know, I think depends on the level, you know, I think how those strategies are different. I think you got to know their story. So you really got to be intentional with learning who your kids are and doing that in a different avenues, whether that's eating lunch with them, get outside with them. I think that's the key, no matter what K-12, whatever grade you're in. I remember playing basketball with my high school students and just having those conversations. I think that was key. And all the way down, you know, I play tetherball with first graders now, and just having those conversations, building that trust and truly getting to know who they are and having an open door, you know, whether it's as a principal or vice principal. I had my door open all the time, but I also the teachers that had their door open at lunchtime and allowed kids to come in, either heat up their food or just have those conversations, was a great way to build relationships with them. Also having fun with kids, and don't be afraid to shy away from learning alongside with them and exploring and enjoying the learning process with them. I think too often we stay away from that, that co-learner model. We make sure that it's teacher-student model, but enjoying each other's company and having fun through their learning process is key for building relationships.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with the recess piece, just talking from an elementary standpoint. Hang out with kids at recess. If it's your lunch duty or recess duty, and even if it's not, I think that's one of the best ways, because kids are surprised at first to see you at recess and not just out there doing duty, actually playing the games. And man, as a principal, when I used to sit down at the lunch table with kids, it would get quiet. And I would say, why are you being weird? Because they weren't used to having a principal sit down with them. And you really hear the inner workings of what kids are, you know, talking about and doing, and what songs they're playing, what video games. And you just get to know them. When kids know that you know something about them, not just their name, but something about them, they're going to work harder for you. They're going to listen to you more intently because they know that you care about them, because you've built a relationship. So
for sure.
Yeah. Next question. What was a memorable, rewarding event where you went out on a limb this year, either for a student or whomever? A rewarding event. Well, I'm not currently working in a school, so I would say I know a lot of people. I was messaging with someone this morning, and I know who they are, and they said who they were and where they were from. And I was like, I know who you are, Kim. And she's like, well, I'm sure you talk to like 1,000 people a week. So I just wanted to make sure you knew who I was. And it was interesting because, to go back to relationships in the previous question, I would say something memorable would be just connecting people that I know with other people that I know, so they can build a relationship and so they can be better educators. And I talked about this yesterday on a podcast that I was on. I've always really tried to be a connector and hey, be a resource if I'm needed. But I think it's also really important, equally as important, to be a connector, because then people can then hopefully take the learning to another level and then actually connect other people in their work. So I didn't really go out on a limb, but I've done a lot of connecting. And some of that is just other people having faith and trust in you, like with your cell phone number or something, and say, hey, this person's great. Connect with them. You're going to love it. And most oftentimes they do. And, you know, you and I have talked about this, but people that we know, that we see spending time together on social media in person. And they all met, not necessarily through me or Ryan, but just in general. So connect other people, because when, you know, we're better together, and when we're better together and we're stronger together, I think we're just better for kids.
Life's a team sport.
Yeah, you say that a lot, man. I love it.
So I think one of the memorable, rewarding events that I went on a limb this year, you know, I think back to some of my students who were struggling academically and socially, social emotionally, in the classroom and on the playground, and really developing, you know, their special ed students, but developing an IEP that really meets their needs. I think so often we hear of IEP, individual education plans, and we look at that, and they still have to fit into a box. And so one of the things that we've done this year is we've really working as a team, we've really taken away those molds that these kids still have to fit into, and really created individual plans. And I know that in talking with some of my SPED director and my assistant superintendent, you know, like, hey, we don't really do it like this. And I said, well, we need to, because these kids need it like this. They need these tools. And so that's been huge. And it really built that trust with the family, and also showed my staff too that, hey, you know what? We do what's best for kids. It doesn't matter if it's traditional or non-traditional. We got to make sure that we meet our kids where they need to be met, and we provide the supports to get them over whatever hurdle they're coming up to. So really getting in there and building an individual plan for them.
Hey, tweet us your questions at Mr. Adam Welcome or at SheHeRW, and we'll try to answer as many as we can on our next show.
Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you're hearing on our podcast, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and subscribing.